Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Welcome to Springs of Living Water with Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee.
Do you have the testimony of victory over all sin in your heart? Has God given you His testimony, or has the devil given you his testimony? We all have an experience. I asked one person, "How are you?" They replied, "Not too bad." That's a testimony of darkness, a darkness in the soul. Our testimony is what we believe to be true. It is a reflection of our inner reality. God is a person, and He too has a testimony. I'd like to share with you in 1 John, the 5th chapter, the testimony of God's inner reality. And let's see if your inner reality matches what God's testimony is. We begin in 1 John, the 5th chapter. I'll begin reading with verse 9. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God which He has given about His Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made Him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. God's testimony is about Jesus Christ. The deepest part of God is about giving to us the gift of eternal life. This dominates the entire agenda of heaven. He gave out of His love His only begotten Son, or His literally only Son of this kind. In other words, He gave Himself. As God gave Himself, He gave that Son to us for eternal life. Now, do you have the Son? Because if you have Jesus, you have that eternal life. And if you do not have Jesus, you do not have eternal life. So the testimony of God is that He has poured out all of heaven on our behalf. And now He is eagerly waiting to see what our testimony is. Because if our testimony is that we have received this gift He has given to us, if we have received Jesus Christ in our hearts, then we now live without sin, because God's seed has entered into us, God's sperm has entered into us in Jesus Christ, and now we've been transformed into His likeness. I remember when I was just a child, I grew up in a holiness church where there were testimony services quite often. I watched as a child as each person would stand and they would give their testimony. And usually the testimony was one that I had heard 10 times before. It was about way back in the past when they had accepted the gospel message and they had said, "Yes, Jesus, I will serve you." But by now the testimony was stale and dry and boring. In fact, that's why when a new pastor came, he stopped calling for testimony meetings, because all the testimonies had to be drug out of people and they were boring and dry and just the same old, same old. No, the testimony of God, when it comes into our heart, is fresh and new. It's like a well of water springing up in our belly and flowing out of us. Every day is a new day. There is a new wonder to be received from the hand and the heart of God. There is a new joy in seeing the face of God, in seeing the face of His Son Jesus as He expresses this wonder in all of the Scriptures. And as we read the Scriptures, as we meditate on them, the Holy Spirit brings us great understanding in our hearts, but He also brings us great joy in our spirits. And then the testimony comes forth from our mouth that we have been made new in the likeness of God, that we have been given this wonderful gift of newness in Jesus. And now we don't have the devil's testimony, moaning and groaning, depressed and discouraged. We don't have the devil's testimony of defeat and lack. Instead, we have the testimony of God, being filled with the Spirit, walking in victory. But all of this testimony business really comes down to a much more basic question, and that is, what kind of soil are you? The seed of God is planted on you. Even now as I'm speaking, I am literally giving to you the seed of God. I am giving to you the seed of life. The question is not about the seed that I'm giving to you. The question is, what kind of soil are you, and what will grow in that soil? Jesus taught this soil by giving us a parable in Mark, the 4th chapter. Jesus began to teach by the lake, and a large crowd had gathered around him, so large that he finally got in a boat, and he sat just a bit of distance out, and all the people sat along the shoreline, and he began to teach them. And he said this, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. They withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear any grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. And then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 disciples came to him, and they said to him, "Would you explain to us this parable?" And he said to them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So this parable that I'm now going to explain to you has within it the secret of the kingdom of God. And it's this secret that I want to share with you, that you might have God's testimony in your heart." Jesus said to his disciples, "The farmer sows the word. And some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away. He takes away the word that was sown in them." And I've said, "Oh Lord, how is it possible that the devil could actually come, and where the seed has been planted in a person's heart, the devil would come and grab that seed and carry it away?" Well, right now, there are some of you listening to this broadcast who are about to turn it off and run along somewhere on your business, because you've walked down this path so many times, you have listened to the gospel so many times, that the soil in your heart is packed down hard. You're cavalier. You're not interested. You're interested in the money game. You're interested in the entertainment game. You're interested in how you can gain power and success, how you can be all that you can be. You have no interest in repentance and humbling your heart and obeying the Word of God. You really have no interest in the secrets of the kingdom of God because you want the kingdom of yourself built. And so Satan comes, and this word that I'm now speaking to you, Satan will just take it out of your heart. 10 minutes from now, you'll be busy about your business somewhere else, and you will have forgotten all about listening to this broadcast today because the devil will have stolen the seed out of your heart, and you will have no testimony of God. You will only have the testimony of your concern about the world's economy or the concern about your children or the concern about some other issue that weighs heavily on your heart. And you will go on down the road and you will not know what the secret of God is. Then there is a second kind of soil. In verse 16, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and are at once receiving it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. Well, how many times I've had men and women come to the National Prayer Chapel or call this broadcast and with great excitement say, Pastor, this is the message of God. I want to be one with Jesus. I want to walk with Jesus. And then very quickly, when troubles come, they're gone. They don't come to church anymore. They don't call this broadcast. They're on about their crisis. Some people live from one crisis to another crisis. One builds on the other. They're never faithful in church. They're never faithful in tithes and offerings. They're never faithful in listening to the broadcast. Why? They're not interested in the secret of the kingdom of God. They're interested in the loaves and the fishes. They're interested in what they can receive that will taste good to them right now, something that will change their perspective and make them feel positive about life, something that will give them a clue about how they can become more successful, how they can gain more followers in their business or in some other foolishness. But they have no heart for the real Word of God. They want their children happy. They want their life to be pleasant. But I tell you, right now, it looks as though the whole economy of America is utterly collapsing. Don't be fooled. We are going bankrupt. And the federal government is either going to monetize its economy and hyperinflation will take over, or they are going to go bankrupt and not be able to pay their debts. Soon you will not be receiving your Social Security, and you'll not be receiving your checks from the government for retirement. What are you going to do then? Do you have a relationship? Do you have a testimony? Do you have an experience with the Almighty God that in the face of utter bankruptcy and ruin, you have an anchor that goes into the heavenlies above with Jesus that will hold you steadfast? There are families right now listening to this broadcast who are on the verge of losing everything you have, and you don't know where to turn. Or there are men listening to this broadcast right now driving, and your mind is in great turmoil because you may lose your job. And what are you going to do? And you're trying to figure out, what do I do with my money? What do I do with my IRA? What do I do with my funds in my stock market? Well, I'll tell you very simply. It's time to cash out everything you have. Cash it out and ask Jesus how he wants you to invest that money. What you now hold in U.S. government bonds, what you now hold in your savings accounts, it's soon all going to disappear. It's going to be drained away. And the only source you will have is Jesus Christ. Do you have a testimony that will hold you firm? Do you know how to go into the prayer closet and pray through until your physical needs are met? Do you know what it's like to have Jesus answer your prayers? Or are you one of those when hard times come, you disappear? You have no roots that go deep into the soil of Jesus' heart. Well, there's another kind of soil I need to talk to you about. Still others, in verse 18, this is Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The word of God that is planted in your heart, and you have good soil in your heart. But do you notice this seed is actually sown among thorns? So again, even as I'm speaking this message of the secret of the kingdom of God, as I'm calling you to have the testimony of God in your heart, there are thorns that are growing up in your life. These thorns may be very small right now, just little tiny thorns, just beginning to sprout through the surface of the ground. But given time, these thorns will grow up to be taller than your head. They'll be covered with pretty flowers and sharp thistles. They'll crowd out everything of value. Farmers, when they find thorns beginning to grow in their pasture, don't admire their beauty. Instead, they get fire and burn them out, because they know that thorns will destroy their pasture land. So, this seed is sown in some of your hearts where there are thorns that will choke this word out so that you'll never act on what you hear. Now, there are not very many kinds of thorns. He just gives us three different types of thorns. The first type of thorn he calls the worries of this life, and this is not a neurotic concern. Worries, literally in the Greek, is the responsibilities of this life. There are areas in your life where you still maintain control. These are the worries. These are the responsibilities of life. You think it's up to you to provide for your family. You're in charge. No. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you give up all responsibility for your life and you place it in the hands of Jesus. You're no longer going to seek first to take care of everything around you. Instead, you're going to do what Jesus spoke about in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let me read it for you. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus is saying, don't worry about these responsibilities of life. Instead of worrying about the responsibilities of life, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. our lives have to be utterly transformed in our giving full time to searching after Jesus. Full time to searching after righteousness. That's why I come and I ask you, what is the testimony of your heart? Do you have a testimony of God in your heart, that you've overcome all sin, that you're walking in righteousness, that every bit of your money and your time and your energy are given to God to be used as He desires? Or are you still full of yourself, your bitterness, your accusations, your poison? What is it that your heart is hungry for? And so as the Word of God is sown right now into your heart, what can choke it out, and most assuredly will choke it out, if you think you own your own life and you have refused to give it over to Jesus and to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Now the second thorn is very closely related. Remember, they're all thorns. The second thorn is the deceitfulness of wealth. Many have said to me, "Oh, Pastor, if I just had money, I would be a pastor. I would preach the gospel. I would follow Jesus." I recall one man coming and sitting in my living room. He was an old man. He sat with tears running down his face. He said, "Pastor, when I was a young man, I was called to the gospel ministry, but I thought I had to go and earn money so that I could pay my way, and so I opened a carpet business. I've now spent my whole life earning the money, and now I have a great deal of money put away, but I'm too old to preach the gospel. I've missed God's call on my life. I've made a lot of money, but I haven't won anyone to Jesus." He was heartbroken. He sat in my living room and wept like a baby. The deceitfulness of wealth, thinking that money will buy us the kingdom of God, thinking that money will provide the solution for our housing or for our food. It's not money that provides for us. It's the broken bread of Jesus' body. It's the spilled wine, the spilled blood of Jesus. That's what feeds us. That's what nourishes us. That's what provides for us. The third closely related thorn is the desire for other things. He says the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. This desire for other things falls in the category of all of the lusts of life that we have. You know, for many years, I wanted a sailboat. And finally, I was able to save the money, and I bought a beautiful little Flying Scot sailboat. It was the pride of my heart. The day came when the Lord said to me, "Ray, it's time to open a new church. Will you sell your boat to finance the opening of that new church?" And I had to give that boat over into the hand of God. I did so with joy. I put a sign on it for sale, and within the week, the boat was sold for the asking price. And I put that money into opening a new church that would bring glory to the name of Jesus. When we love other things more than we love Jesus, there can be no fruit born in our life. But now let's quickly go to the next and final soil. Verse 20, "Others like seed sown on good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." This good soil is marked by an absence of thorns. And do you notice that in this good soil, the word is planted and it produces a crop? The soil doesn't produce the crop. The seed on the good soil produces the crop. This is the secret of the kingdom of God, and I'm giving this secret to you right now. If you can catch this secret, your whole life will be transformed. If you can clear away every obstacle in your heart by going in the prayer closet and getting rid of the worries of this life, getting rid of the deceitfulness of wealth, getting rid of the desire for other things, and if you'll have good soil and you'll go in and wait before God, He will plant in your heart a seed. And that seed will respond and will produce in your life righteousness. The fruit of God is righteousness. The Lord desires that you would seek with your whole heart His kingdom and His righteousness. We seek the kingdom of God by praying through to victory over every darkness that holds us back. As we are released in the power of the Spirit by the blood of Jesus, the seed of God is planted in us. And that seed of God, that sperm of God, begins to produce a harvest of righteousness in our lives, so that flowing out of our hearts is a great, passionate love for Jesus. Flowing out of our heart is a great love for our brothers and our sisters. No longer do we hold accusations. No longer do we hold that Pharisaical position of being better than another. No longer do we constantly try to correct a brother or a sister and get them set straight on how they're supposed to be. Instead of judgment, love flows from our heart. Judgment has flowed from my heart many times, and I've had to repent for that judgment. I've had to repent for that anger, that bitterness. But the time comes when that ground is all cleared away and prepared. And then God plants His seed in us. And that seed begins to produce real righteousness. Now, what is your testimony today? Do you have a testimony? Do you have a current experience of God's righteousness, of the glorious infilling of the Holy Ghost? Do you rejoice today in our glorious Savior Jesus as you walk free in power and victory by His blood?
I'm Pastor Jan Greenlee. We pray that you've been awakened today by the Holy Spirit to a hunger for Jesus and His holiness. If you need someone to pray with you, call 703-490-8723. Write to us at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. That address again, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. To receive a copy of today's message, visit our webpage, nationalprayerchapel.com. If you want to get right with Jesus and experience His joy in your heart, come worship with us on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Grace Lutheran Church, located on the corner of Prince William Parkway and U.S. 1 in Woodbridge, Virginia. At the National Prayer Chapel, you will find Jesus, the bread of life.